Change is happening faster than ever, and it's never been more important to know what's next. At Hogan Levels, we're talking every day with clients and colleagues to conquer the most significant issues we face, and our What's Next podcast brings that dialogue straight to you. This month, Kelly Hardy, co-chair of our Consumer Industry Group, talks with Anna Maria Vitek, Executive Vice President and General Counsel for Legal and Compliance for North America, Latin America, and APAC at GfK, one of the largest market research companies in the world. Together, they'll delve into the impacts of a rapidly digitized consumer experience on the legal function.
Hi, I'm Kelly Tubman Hardy. I'm a corporate and M&A partner at Hogan Lovells and global co-head of our consumer industry sector group. And I'm here today with Anna Maria Vitek, Executive Vice President and General Counsel for Legal and Compliance for North America, Latin America, and Asia Pacific at GfK, which is a global research company. Anna Maria, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Kelly. Thanks very much.
I wanted to spend the next few minutes with you talking about some of your experience as a general counsel, regional general counsel for a very important company in the consumer industry sector. Anna Maria, GfK is experiencing the digital revolution from a very unique perch. As one of the world's leading consumer research companies, you're in the thick of it as consumer experience drastically evolves, becoming more rapid all the time, and most of all, more data-driven. Which legal issues are the most pressing for you and for your legal department these days?
You know, with data being our widget, so to speak, it's what we sell. Issues related to the protection of and proper use of data is of utmost importance to GfK. You know, with the recent examples of Equifax and Yahoo attacks and cybersecurity issues all around us, protecting client and personal data is of utmost importance, Kelly. It's also important to ensure that adequate security measures, as well as breach prevention plans, are in place in order to be in compliance with applicable laws, including the EU's GDPR, CAN-SPAM laws, and the Telephone Consumer Protection Act, which all carry significant penalties for failure to comply. The GDPR comes into force, as we're all aware of, on May 25th. The law applies to companies within and outside the European Union that collect or process personal data pertaining to European citizens. So it absolutely applies to us. And related to the GDPR, there's a lot of work that's being done with regard to mapping data flows, conducting data privacy impact assessments, revising consent language in contracts, using the correct legal grounds for processing of data, and amending service agreements with clients and vendors are just some of the examples of what we're working on.
And I imagine that a lot of the work that you do in this area, particularly with data protection and GDPR, comes from within the company, but that you're also getting inquiries from your customers that you need to respond to.
That's correct. I mean, I think we both have to deal with our internal clients, so to speak, as well as our customers.
And it's interesting that you're working to stay on top of these issues, but you're having to do it not only in a changing environment, but you're doing it literally around the world. So you have responsibility yourself for the Americas and for Asia Pacific. You work for a German-based company. How do you juggle this added layer of complexity across the jurisdictions that you cover?
You know, one of the reasons that I decided to join GfK was that I had the opportunity to really build a team from scratch, which is a unique opportunity. It's not always that you're able to do that. I'm very fortunate to have working with me an incredible team, you know, of experienced professionals. We work closely together to get things done. We all work very well as a team. We have strong teams in the US, LATAM, and APAC, and we also have a strong team in Germany and across the GfK world that we work very closely with. We share best practices, we share lessons learned. In addition, when you have so many different time zones to work in, you have to be flexible in scheduling meetings. You know, some days my day begins at 3 a.m. New York time with a call with Germany and ends with a 9 p.m. call with Singapore. So I think the flexibility of being able to start and end meetings is helpful. And another important aspect that helps with all the complexity of working with people in different countries is to understand the cultural differences that exist. You know, I've been fortunate to work with so many different people, Kelly, from different cultures. And I think that's an added benefit. In addition, working with multicultural teams from across many different time zones throughout my career helps me understand what needs to get done to make sure that we get all our work done. From little things like consciously remembering not to speak, you know, as fast as we are used to speaking in New York, to ensuring right. We're all in alignment at the end of the meeting are really important little things that I just make sure that we all adhere to.
Well, absolutely. And that's something you and I have worked together for some time. And I know that that's something that you're very attuned to. To what extent do you rely on outside counsel to keep you abreast of developments? And how does the changing nature of regulation in your industry affect your demands or your requirements for outside counsel?
I rely a lot on external counsel to help provide me with input on changing developments in the law, the client alerts that go out. I read every single one of them. I also rely on external counsel to provide the expertise we may not have internally. So, for example, patent work is something we don't do, and I rely on external counsel. Or, as you know, we've worked together on M&A deals where we don't have just the manpower internally to be able to handle those kinds of transactions, we rely on external counsel. And also where I think that external counsel can more efficiently handle work, for example, in discovery, because the law firm has the tools necessary to review sometimes the millions of documents that may be responsive to a litigation hold. And finally, I think I expect external counsel to work with me in understanding what is it that GFK does.
And I think that's something that we as external counsel, we all know that our clients expect us now, not just to know our subject area, but to know their industries.
Absolutely.
I know that you're not new to the consumer industry sector. Prior to joining GFK, you were at Avon for many years, where you were in charge of the Americas, which was really Avon's largest region. Tell me, what are some of the differences in the legal issues that you dealt with at Avon, which sells, as we all know, a tangible product, and it relies very much on personal relationships and a very large sales force around the world? And being at a company like GFK, which is really at the forefront of data management and research, can you tell me a little bit about some of the differences and how they affect how you approach your job?
Absolutely. As you mentioned, at Avon, I was mainly responsible for one region, Latin America. It was Avon's largest and most important region in terms of sales. At GFK, I'm responsible for multiple regions, and I work on really a variety of different legal issues, much more diverse set of legal topics. One day, the focus is on M&A work. The next could be negotiating a real estate lease. The same afternoon, I could be dealing with an employee issue. And I guess the other big issue is at Avon, I spent a lot of time defending the independent contractor status with the millions of representatives we had across the Avon world. And there were thousands of lawsuits that we had to defend, especially in LATAM. At GFK, we don't have many labor suits. So again, I think here the focus, as you've mentioned, is from a commercial perspective, issues surrounding data privacy, data quality, much less tangible assets than selling a lipstick or the issues involved with production of cosmetics. Other than the type of work, the skill set to analyze an issue, the experience to know when to escalate and to whom really are the same.
Interesting. So big differences in the workforce and in the volume of labor-related issues, and certainly much more highly regulated industry at GfK. I guess in terms of the changes that you're seeing in this market, this portion of the industry sector, you're probably in one of the portions of the consumer industry sector that is seeing really the most change, not only in terms of technological changes and how business is being done, how data is being collected, but also in regulation, with regulators around the world scrambling to catch up with developments that even the business is having difficulty keeping up with. I'm interested in hearing what you think the biggest challenges will be going forward over the next, let's say, 2 to 3 years.
Ensuring that research and the distribution of data is in compliance with not just applicable laws, which, as you just mentioned, I think there's going to be more focus on policy and procedure with regard to the internet, but also making sure that we adhere to this new revised code of standards and ethics for the market research industry, which, again, the Insights Association has just put out in February. Adherence to the code helps to ensure that our responsibilities to our clients, research participants, and really to the public, particularly when research results are published, are adhered to and met. So our goal is to ensure accuracy and transparency to our clients, to our research participants. And I think what will happen going forward is that there will be more legislation when it comes to these kinds of issues that we're all grappling with.
It's very interesting that you say that, because we actually are hearing that from a lot of our clients in the consumer sector, that what they're most concerned about is not the regulations. The regulations are coming. You can plan for them. You can comply with them. But the top of mind for them are the reputational issues and ensuring that they are trusted and have credibility with their clients or their customers if they are, you know, if they're selling directly to consumers.
Kelly, I think you're absolutely right. It's the transparency and the consent that we're worried about. So if we're transparent in terms of what we're going to use the data for, and the panel participant absolutely understands clear language what we're asking them to consent to, then I think we'll be okay.
We have listeners tuning in from across industries today. Many of those industries are also being impacted by evolving technologies. What lessons do you feel that you and GfK have learned that would be helpful to in-house counsel, regardless of the industry sector that they're in?
Well, I have a long list, Kelly, so let me begin by some of the things that I think I try to adhere to and really work with my team and having them understand the importance of. Foremost, I think it's don't let perfection be the enemy of the good. We have to try to do as best we can in the circumstances that we have. So I think that's lesson number one. And also, I think throughout my career, I work with people to make sure that I hire the right people and empower them to make decisions that are within their scope of responsibility. So I think that's also important. And related to that, I think is make sure you spend the time it takes to hire the right team, both internally and your external counsel. I think it's important that you vet your prospective co-team that's going to be working with you, as well as your external counsel. And if you hire someone that turns out to be not the right fit, make a change as quickly as is practical to do. Don't stay with that person just because it's just easier than going out there and starting the recruiting process all over again. Additionally, I think going back to one of the questions we talked about before, the value of communicating clearly and succinctly cannot be overstated. The business does not want to read, you know, a 25-page memo in which you cite case law. You need to, you know, be a practical business partner to the business and understand really who your audience is. debriefing the CEO on an issue will be very different than debriefing a fellow colleague when you're trying to figure out if one applicable statute applies in this state, does it apply in another state, et cetera. So I think that's also important. And I do have a few others. Be open to different perspectives and to disagreement, then align on a path forward. I think the alignment is what's crucial. And encourage your team to share their different points of view and different perspectives. Make decisions based on fact. For me, not taking action, sort of the paralysis that I call it, is worse than acting, making a mistake, and course correcting quickly. I think that's been my approach to the way I proceed on things. And being proactive to try to prevent issues from turning into emergencies, I think, is also important. And the importance of really having more focused meetings, conference calls, et cetera, in particularly when you have business people around the globe on the call, you have to be concise. You have to prepare well for those meetings because they really want you to get to the point in terms of what we're all on the call for. And finally, I think the importance of asking questions of the business team in order to understand the specific details of a project, contract, matter you're working on, I think is crucial. When I started here at GfK almost 2.5 years ago, I asked lots of questions because the market research industry was a completely new industry in the type of work that we did. And people said, that's the first time a lawyer has ever asked me that question. And to me, if I don't understand what it is that we're doing, we cannot provide the best possible advice for our client. So I think it's investing the time to understand exactly what services we are providing and being able to provide the legal advice, you know, in that context is super important.
That's really interesting. So some of the things you've mentioned, I'm sure all of them are very useful to our listeners who are in-house counsel, but many of them are also things that I think a successful outside counsel has to do. And so in particular, a couple of the ones that caught my attention were not striving for perfection. I guess from an outside counsel standpoint, I would state it a little bit differently. I would say understanding the degree of certainty which your client is seeking.
Absolutely.
And making sure that you're aligned on that and that you're achieving their goals so that you're delivering value. Sometimes that last 5 or 10% of certainty doesn't provide a lot of value. Hiring and empowering your team, making sure that they know that they can ask questions so that as the lead outside counsel, you are stronger than just yourself. You have a team behind you that has more details and is asking the right questions. And investing in your team, making sure that you're developing them and that you're making course corrections if you don't have exactly the right team on a transaction or on a client matter. And then I think the things you said about preparing, communicating clearly, all of those really resonate with me as outside counsel. And then I guess the most important, I think, and where we as outside counsel can really add value is taking the time to understand the issue, the commercial issue, and the business concerns. Is there anything else, though, that you think is critical to the outside counsel relationship and the value that they bring to a matter?
I think what's most important, Kelly, is that external counsel, as Hogan Lovells does, really take the time to understand what we do. We sell a variety of different products here, and some of them are not your day-to-day, again, using the comparison of an Avon, where it's easier to understand because it involves either production of a product, distribution of a product. Here, it's about data, how you use it, how you collect it. And I think that's what's really important for me with our external counsel, that they really invest the time to sit down and understand what it is that we do And if they don't understand something, or because it's completely a new concept that we are exploring, to really take the time to meet with the business and have them, who are the experts in that field, explain exactly what it is that we want to do and what we want to accomplish and what the legal issue that we need to address is.
This has been extremely helpful. I think your perspective as someone who is working in an industry that is undergoing such a transformation, when we think about the types of data that were available to a market research company 10 years ago, what's available today, and what you might have available to you in the next 6 months or a year. An industry that is subject not only to rapid regulatory change, but also, as you mentioned, to reputational risk and expectations that have been fueled, I think, in part by some of the data breaches in the industry. You have to cover really a lot of ground. And I think it's been really, really interesting to hear about how you do that with a relatively small team across a very wide geography, and to hear about what you expect of outside counsel and how an outside counsel can support you in achieving your goals. I think this has really been helpful. And so I thank you for spending the time with us today. Thank you to all of our listeners for joining us today. And please stay tuned for our next episode, which will feature a further conversation with Hogan Lovells and our clients about what's next.
Thanks, Kelly.
For more information on this topic, or to learn how we're helping other clients solve their toughest problems, visit HoganLovells.com. Music for this podcast was created by Jazzar. Check out their library at betterwithmusic.com.